Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. A lot of people looking for power. A lot of people looking for downloads from God. A lot of people looking for something. They're missing something or lacking something. But Paul never prayed that you would get something that you're lacking. Paul prayed that what you have would come into revelation. What you possess already would become fully expressed and manifest in your life, that you would gain full appreciation and knowledge of what is seemingly unknowable, but that you would know what you can't know, so that you would, here's the thing, that you may be filled throughout all your being, that you may be a person wholly flooded with God Himself. And all of those things take place because of love. Love, 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 love. So Paul talked a lot about love. He wanted you to abide in love. He wanted you to understand that nothing can separate you from the love. He wants you to know that that love that's in you, you just need the Spirit to illumine the reality of it in your heart and in your life. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 4, there's so many verses about Paul and what he wrote about love, but he said, "All that you do, let all that you do, let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love." Everything. I mean, everything you do, it should be motivated by love. There's not a thing you do that shouldn't be motivated by love. How you get up in the morning should be done in love. How you reach for the snooze bar and go, it should be done in love. Everything. I mean, let all you do, let it be done in love. Let love be the backdrop. Let love be the elevator music of your life. Let love be that constant theme that moves you and motivates you. 1 Corinthians 16:24, Paul says, "My love, I want my love to be with you all in Christ Jesus." Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:4, he says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote to you, that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you." Paul, when some people think Paul was tough, Paul was hard. I mean, Paul, man, he was a difficult guy. I mean, Paul's the one who said, you know, warn him once, warn him twice, and kick him out. Have nothing to do with him. Wow, that's harsh. Well, this is the same guy. If you read all of his literature and you read his closing remarks and the way he spoke to people, he said, "I have you in my heart. I think of you with great affection." I mean, Paul was an incredibly affectionate guy. And Paul said, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you." But he says that you might know the love which I have, the love that I have for you that is so abundant. So Paul preached love, but Paul also practiced love. And Paul manifest that God kind of love. In Galatians 5, verse 6, he says, "The only thing that counts," this is Paul, he said, "the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love." That's the only thing. And this is all that counts. This is all that matters, is your belief being manifest through love. That's all that matters. And here he was saying this to the Galatian church, because he went and he began this church and he brought this church into supernatural freedom in God. They accepted the message of Christ, the good news. And then some Judaizers came and tried to slap the law on them and tried to say, "Yeah, Jesus, believing in him is right, but you still got to do all the stuff. You got to get circumcised. You got to obey all the laws. You got to." And Paul's like, "Oh man, who bewitched you? Who came in and cut you off? I mean, the Spirit came upon you and set you free. It's that same freedom you got to stay in. Oh, I can't believe people are trying to put you in bondage again." He said, "The only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, is that faith that was inspired by God to let the love of God now, let that faith express that love." And that's all that really matters. Paul's talking, love was throughout the doctrine of Paul. 2 Corinthians 12:15, he said, "I will gladly spend myself and all I have for you, even though it seems." Well, here he is. I mean, he's got these Judaizers coming in. Paul says, "I gave birth to you. You're my offspring. I mean, you guys, this church exists because I came into an area where nobody else had heard the gospel. I came into an area. I birthed you. You're my offspring." And these other super apostles are coming in and putting this junk on you. And they're coming in with all these doctrines. And, oh, they're so wise and they're so smart. And they're disrespecting me. But I'm telling you, I'm ticked off about it. And he straightens things out and he addresses things. And you read the letter and you go, whoa, was he ever mad at them? But here's what he says. He says, I will gladly spend myself and all I have for you, even though it seems that the more that I love you, the less you love me. And I don't know about you, but that's ouch. You got somebody who's given his whole life to go and at his own expense and everything, and they're misrepresenting Paul and misrepresenting his ministry to them, and people coming in, and here's Paul going, man, it seems the more I love you, and what is he saying? I come and I correct some issues in your life. I address some things that are wrong. I mean, I come in and I'm trying to straighten some things out, and although, you know, when I do, it seems the more I love you, the less you love me. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard stuff. I mean, you can feel Paul's heart there. That, you know, like would I want to do this? You think it's fun having to come in and say, enough of these idiots. I mean, these, oh, you're so wise. Oh, that I might be a king with you. I mean, he got pretty sarcastic. He was very upset about this foolishness going on. And he's confronting it, and he's correcting it. He's trying to address these things. But it seems the more he loved them in correcting and bringing discipline, the less they loved him. Okay, that was good. That was good, Pastor. All right. Galatians 4:16. Here again, he says, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Have I become your enemy by telling the truth to you and dealing with you sincerely? Sincerely? I mean, these Judaizers, there's so many people coming in false doctrine. They're trying to put things on you that are not kingdom. They're not truth. They're not the truth. It's another gospel. It's only going to mess with you. And he says, yet I come in and I try to correct that and I address that. And have I become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth and I'm trying to deal with you sincerely? Oh, so I know we're talking about love and you got to love people as Jesus loved and all that kind of stuff. And it's all love. But love can become pretty pretentious if we're not afraid to speak the truth to people. You know, you ever had lunch and come back to work and you got a piece of lettuce on your teeth and nobody tells you? You spent the whole day, you know, talking to people. You're in customer service talking to people and they're all looking at you weird, but nobody in your office had the courage to tell you, you know, you came back from lunch and there's a piece of romaine stuck, right? And sometimes you get stuff stuck in your life. You get stuff. You know, we talked last week about Jesus washing their feet. You know why you wash their feet? In that culture, you see, we don't do that in our culture, but in their culture, you take a bath, you clean yourself up, you're good to go for the day, but then you walk over to your neighbor's place and you could walk through stuff. You could step in stuff. And then when you get to your neighbor's house, you know, hey, clean those feet up. They stepped in something. You know, we had Caleb once came. He's playing the drums, and he stepped in something. And we all smelt something, and gee, I was checking my shoe, and then all of a sudden, Caleb, oops. But you know what? Here's what happens is you sit down, and you just went through the whole day. Bill doesn't need a full wash, but you know what? You came into church. You stepped in some doo-doo, and just going to take care of that for you. Isn't that amazing? And you know, somebody should have done that earlier, but they'd already eaten a meal and nobody was willing to take the place of a servant. But you see, Jesus comes and he deals with the caca in your life. And then it wasn't now line up and clean Jesus' feet. It was now do this to others. Others. So that's what's really important is to minister to others, because how many gone through the week and how many stepped in some caca this week? I mean, figuratively, not really. Like, I didn't step in any doo-doo. Well, you know, sometimes we do. Sometimes you have a bad day and you manifest something and, you know, it's not that you lost your salvation and you're not born again anymore, but there's something just kind of, something not quite right with your spirit there. Just wanna, and you know what? I'm going to come over and I'm going to help you clean that up. Well, you know, sometimes you walk up to people and go, you know, your flesh is showing. I'm just going to help you out there, you know. And you're going to help that person out, you know? But you ever come along to the person, you stepped in some caca this week. Let me help you. I did not. I've never stepped in caca. And then they get out some perfume. And then we're all pretending. I don't have caca. Other people might have stepped in some this week, but not me.
It ain't working anymore. I mean, it's okay, you know. And you know, when you love somebody and you're really in a genuine relationship, I hope you got people, because you're only going to be powerful if you're with powerful people. And you're going to keep you from stepping into narcissism if you allow people to be in your life who are powerful and are bold enough to tell you when you stepped in caca. And hopefully you're courageous enough to say, I'm open to that. What if I didn't step in caca? And they think I did. Then who cares? Oh, hey, dude, help me out there. But you know what? Here's Paul. Paul's going, these people came and they brought a big caca, a religion, and you guys been treading in it. And I'm going to come and I'm going to clean this mess up. But then sometimes you come to deal with the mess and people aren't mature enough to be in genuine covenant relationships. You know, it's all love. It's all lovey-dovey until we start dealing with each other's stuff, right? I'd like Jesus to deal with my stuff. Or maybe Benny Hinn could give me a call. Or Kenneth Hagin, he's dead, but, you know, he could correct me. But it's when that average person comes and says, your flesh is showing. Those are genuine relationships. Real people having real relationships in God. Amen. That's, are we really loving each other? Well, when I get love like that, I just move on to another church. I refuse to acknowledge that I stepped in caca, and you bringing attention to my caca was wrong. You judged me. Well, the word says we don't judge those outside the church, but it says we do judge those in. That's what the word says. I'm not judging the motive of your heart. I'm just judging this. Clearly, you stepped in caca, and we want to help you. But you got to come over here. We got to take your shoe, and we got to go through a process. I refuse the process. I can't believe you're putting me through this process. But you know, church, it's a body, it's a relationship, it's a process. You know, if we're going to have love, that love's going to have to be, let your love, look at that right there, let love be without hypocrisy. I get people tell me stuff all the time, and some of it's right, and some of it's wrong, but it's all good. I think they love me. Right? And I'm all for it. Lord knows I need help. I want to be in strong relationships. I want to be in strong relationships with strong people. NIV said, let your love be sincere, sincere, without wax. There's a lot of people that they get a crack, and instead of dealing with the crack, they get some wax, and they just cover it up, and so nobody can see. So I don't want anybody telling me about my flaws, and I'm not going to deal with my flaws. I'm going to cover them up. And it's just garbage. And then you know what? It's not loving for you. Look at them. They fill the crack with wax again. Oh, you're so cute. It's not cute. It's stupid. And loving people say, you've got like a wax addiction. I mean, like every time there's a flaw, you know where it is, you acknowledge it, but you wax it. That's crazy. You know, you should get some healing. Oh, you're judging me, man. No, I'm not judging you. The stupid thing is you think other people don't know. It's out there. It's right out there. I mean, my God, you're only fooling yourself. The NLT says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. So I don't want a church where it's this pretentious love where, yeah, we love everybody, man. This church full of love. We never get harsh with each other. Because, you know, sometimes love gets harsh. Sometimes love deals with some things. And Paul said, it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. That happens, eh? Wow, this whole love thing's turning a nasty corner, isn't it? Because who makes up the rules, though? Well, we trust the Holy Ghost. We trust God. We trust Him. And you know what? Nobody can harm you or hurt you. You're good. You're safe. I mean, don't be so fearful. Nobody's speaking in my life. I'm not getting close to anybody. You know, throw yourself out there. Go ahead. Get in some real, genuine relationships and watch yourself grow. It's okay. The world is sick and tired of pretenders. The world is sick and tired of people going to church. I have a relationship with the living God. He blesses my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And their lives are a total mess. They're emotional nightmares. They can't have genuine relationships. Because it says a church, a body of people where the relationships are real, genuine, and manifesting sincere love for one another, the God kind of love for one another, that kind of thing is going to manifest the glory of God on the earth. In fact, that is the key to demonstrating that God is who He said He is. We got to have those kind of relationships. Amen? Amen? So we're just going to pick on one person at a time here, bring them up, and let's just tell them the truth. Are you ready? Let's start with Kevin Downey. Amen? So, I'm just kidding. But wouldn't that be fun? Me first. Yeah, Cheryl says you first. Okay, let's move on. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because guess what? Guess what? 1 Corinthians 13, that was also written by the Apostle Paul. One of the most amazing chapters on love, one of the most beautiful pieces of literature that ever existed, right? The Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching so hard I got kind of tired. I just got to have a snack. Nothing like some nice fresh rye bread. And I don't know what you guys use, but I use Skippy. Amen? Skippy? Brian, you're a Skippy guy? It is Skippy smooth. Craft people? Well, Lord forgive you. And you know what? Not a little bit either. I mean, you gotta go for the peanut butter. No, there's... Anybody in the building that's allergic to peanut butter, please do not come up for the altar call. Or maybe you should. You'll get healed. Amen. You know, Pastor, I can't believe the pastor used peanut butter in the sermon. I mean, you know, people have allergies. Well, allergies are from the pit of hell. So you need to get healed. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. So that's good right there. That's making you hungry, isn't it, honey? I can see you slobbering right there. You were manifesting, weren't you? So I had bread, and I slapped a whole bunch of peanut butter on there. And then watch this. Oh, oops. I forgot napkins. Barb, where's the Kleenex? Oh, I found some. Never mind. Isn't that good? But you see what happens there. What I love about peanut butter is, that just takes those two pieces of bread, just kind of slams it all together. So just did that just to help you, because stole that one from my favorite theologian, my wife. So you know, I remember when Cheryl did that, peanut butter and bread. Yeah, I told you, they don't remember the sermons from one week to another. Oh, why am I doing that? Oh, okay. 1 Corinthians 13, written by the Apostle Paul. Probably one of the most popular chapters in the Bible. Chapters 12, 13, and 14 are really one unit. I mean, the whole book is a unit, but these three are held together. So you got one piece of bread, you got another piece of bread, you got chapter 12, you got chapter 14. But right in the middle, he throws some ooey, gooey, yummy, Skippy peanut butter. And that's what makes chapter 12 and 14 make sense, is that he rams that good gooey stuff in the middle. So the whole thing works together because of the nice gooey stuff. So what you have is in chapter 12, it talks about the context. In chapter 12, he talks about the body of Christ. He talks, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are gifts that operate with the body of Christ. And everybody in the body of Christ is gifted. He talks about how we're all related, we're all apart, there's one body, and we're all in the body of Christ. And then chapter 13 deals with the motivation. The only motivation to operate in the gifts is love. It is the only motivation, love. And then chapter 14 talks about the operation and the exercise of those gifts. But we want to talk about chapter 13. Say chapter 13. All right, here we go. Are you ready? I thought that was obvious. How many knew that the pieces of bread were held together because of the peanut butter? How many knew that? How many did not know that? Just your wife, honey. Apparently she did. And that's amazing. I thought Benet was away today. But that's... Apparently it has nothing to do with Benet, because I saw the spirit of transference move from that end of the aisle all the way down here. That was unbelievable. Did you see that? What's amazing is I love them both. It's awesome. But I do love her more and in a much more different and special way. I mean, my wife, that is. Thank you. I'm never using one of your illustrations ever again. In fact, here, chew on this and hopefully take a big bite of that and it'll stick those gums together. Okay, so, all right. 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, man. It's a good thing dinner's provided somewhere else today because I won't be eating any. Okay. Or peanut, it'll be peanut butter for a month. Oh, don't even want to sow that thought. Okay. Gonna deal with it. You ready? Here we go. Gonna deal with the whole chapter in a few minutes. So here it goes. Number one, the primacy of love. We're gonna deal with the primacy of love. Okay, primacy means love is first in order, first in rank, and first in importance. Love is first. Love is the primary thing. Look what it says. Look at verse 1, chapter 13. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels. Wow. I mean, that's amazing. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but I have not love, that reasoning and intentional spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I mean, how many think if you had somebody who could speak in angelic tongues and different languages, say, really cool. I mean, they could pick any language at all. I mean, give us Mandarin. Give me some Taiwanese. Give me some Spanish. Espíritu Santos. Anyways, más gozo. Much more joy. I like that one. That would be pretty cool. You'd think the person's pretty talented, but really, if the person's not a loving person, it's nothing. It doesn't even register. In fact, it more than registers. It's just massive, ugly noise. So if there's no love, it don't matter. That doesn't even register. Then look what it says. Look at verse 2. It says, if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and I understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and I possess all knowledge, and if I have, I mean, stop there for a second. How many think all knowledge, all mysteries, you have that kind of capacity, how many think I want him as my friend? I mean, you can ask that person anything. Hello. I mean, you can call them about anything, and they even divine knowledge, I mean, hidden things, they can boom, they can rhyme it off. I mean, I would think that would be a pretty cool person. But it says here that that person without love is nothing. Prophetic ability to declare the future. I would think somebody who could tell me the future would be very, very important. But God says, meh. But you know, we get messed up because we will elevate people and ignore their character. We'll ignore, are they loving? We'll ignore those things. We will pursue gifts. And we will give people the benefit of the doubt just because, oh, but how anointed they are. And yet they're devils. You find out their private life is a total nightmare. Because, oh, that's okay. They're so anointed. No, they're not. In fact, God says, man, I don't even acknowledge them. To me, they are nothing. What he's trying to say is, he's trying to take a wild, crazy extreme, because that is pretty cool. But what God is saying is that love is more important than all of that, which means what? Love is primary. Love is the foundation of it all. Love is the source of it all. Love has to be first. Nothing matters if love isn't first. Nothing. I don't care how big it is, how glorious it is, how amazing it is. If love isn't the source of it, the foundation of it, if it doesn't spring from love, it is nothing. It doesn't even register. Has to begin. And the primary thing, first in rank and order, is love. Look at this. If I have faith, I can move mountains. I would think if you can move mountains, that'd be pretty cool. Come see my friend. He can move mountains. Mountain be moved. That would be pretty cool. Now, this isn't my idea. This isn't me being cute. This is the Word of God. This is Paul going, listen, you got some guy you know who's walking in such a realm of faith. He says, boom, mountains. I mean, I'd be thinking, pick up an offering. This was pretty cool. But God says, it did not even register. Did not even register. And you know, that means we can spend a whole lot of time trying to get big and strong in the things that are important, but they're not important if love isn't there first. Hello? And you know, we spend a lot of time teaching about all kinds of stuff, and then we wonder why we're not getting results. We're just getting more understanding, more revelation. We're getting more stuff in our head. There's no demonstration. There's no evidence that we are the people of God. There's no evidence that is so resoundingly clear that people are busting down the doors to get in. And we've taught on this stuff forever and ever and ever and ever, and that we're losing the battle for souls of men and women. Love has to be first. And that's what he's saying. He's not saying these other things are bad. They're not bad. They are essentials. But they don't mean anything if you don't start with love. If you don't have the foundation of love, it don't matter. Verse 3, even if I dole out all that I have to the poor, giving the poor and providing food, if I surrender, and that's pretty good. Well, I give to people, you know, so I'm loving. Like, I support this, I support this, I support this. You know, if you didn't do that, responding to the love of God, if that didn't come, if your giving wasn't done motivated by the love of God, if it was done because I want people to know what a great giver I am, didn't even register. Giving is fantastic. He wants you to excel in the ministry of giving, but it must begin with love. Now, here's another one. Surrender your life, let your body be burned. I mean, literally be martyred in order that I may glory. But if I have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Say nothing.
Oh, I'm laying down my life for Jesus, you bunch of dogs. Now, you may think you're serving God, but I'm going all the way. I'm going to martyr myself. I'm going to give it all for God. I'm just going to show you. If you do that because of the love of God, it's the love of God constrains you. That's it. But if you're giving your whole life away out of your own pride and your own sense of who you are, who cares?
Okay, how you doing? Good, amen. I mean, I wish I slept in this morning. Nope. Okay, personality love. You ready? Going really fast. Personality love. Verses 4 to 7. Here's what love looks like. Love endures long. Amen. Love endures long. I love you, oh God. Love endures long. I can love you for about 10 minutes after that. Oh, no, love endures long. Love endures long. Love is patient and love is kind. Isn't that true? Say kind. I hate it when people say they love me, but they're not kind. I like kind people, don't you? They're just kind. Kind. Love is kind. Love never is envious, and it never boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful. It's not vainglorious, and it does not display itself haughtily. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, so if there's a few more words, that's why, okay? Right? So, didn't I do a great job, though, with Mary's wedding? Yeah. I'm awesome. I like doing weddings. I do special jobs with weddings. I really enjoyed Kevin's. Cheryl and I tag-teamed in that, but it would have been better if I did it all. It's not. Love isn't conceited. Love's not vainglorious. Not love. Your flesh is showing. Verse 5, it's not conceited, it's not arrogant, and it's not inflated with pride. It's not rude. Love is not rude. Rude people annoy me. They annoy me as much as kind people inspire me. But why are people rude? You know, just rude. It's, people are so insecure, they're rude. Don't, rudeness is just such a waste of energy. Unmannerly. It does not act becomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, nor is it self-seeking. I like this one. Nor is it touchy. Hello. Oh, don't bug me today, man. Just don't. I don't got it today. Just don't talk to me. Love isn't touchy. Get over yourself. You're going to be like that. Stay home. Or please come, let us lay hands on you quick and cast that devil out of you. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. And this is the hard one. Amen? I don't know about you, but I got files. Hey, how many have files? But love holds no record of wrong. I'm good. I hold no records of wrong until they mess with me again. Then about 20 files pop up. Going. Anybody else have files? Just random access memory. My RAM. I have a huge RAM. It just, you know. Oh, you again. And then I project all the past pain on that person. How are you today? Protect self. Hit mechanism. You'll never hurt me this time. I'm so ready for you. How you doing? And we do that. We walk around so guarded and messed up because we got all these records of wrong. It's just, you know, that person, you know, they, no record of wrongs. I don't know about you, but I mean, right now, let's just pray. Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us for keeping people back here. Forgive us, first of all, for taking stupid offenses over nothing. And then, man, I just, okay, I don't like to do it, but I'm going to hit the delete button right now. Delete. That was good, eh? No record of wrongs. Okay, that was good. All right. Love, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Doesn't say it pays no attention to an attempt to wrong you, but you actually suffered a wrong, and you pay no attention to it. Doesn't mean you don't deal with it. It's just you don't keep a file. You deal with it, get it done, move on. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that. That was good. Amen. One more, the permanence of love. Here we are. Oh, my. My, I looked at my clock, and time is gone. How many are still on yesterday's time? Well, it's only 11:30 then. We're good. The permanence of love. There it is, the last part, the permanence. It exists perpetually. It's everlasting. Listen to this phrase right here. Listen to this phrase. Wow. You know, I know a lot of you are just going, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, Charlie Brown's teacher at the front. Love again, love, wow, love. 1 Corinthians 13, woo, haven't heard a sermon on that before. Blah, 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 blah. We need to love each other. Blah, 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 blah. Thank you. But that's what happens, don't we? We just shut off with some of this stuff. Like, I got this. I mean, you got to understand the love of God. I mean, it's like an onion that just never, ever ceases. You can peel it a million different times. There's more! If you don't get whacked out on this one fact, God loves me! Man, you got to get freshened up in your experience because that is the biggest revelation ever! And if that's just blah, blah, blah to you, wake up! Sorry about that for you who are snoozing in the glory. Listen to this. You ready? Here it is. You ready? Love never fails. I was reading that the other day, and the Holy Spirit said to me, what do you think that means? I said, well, it never fails. It just never quits. It's just like the Energizer Bunny, you know, going through. It just never stops. He said, no. What do you mean, no? He said, love never fails to get results. And no matter what you're dealing with, if you walk in love, you will get godly results. It says love in any circumstance or situation. If you will manifest love, love always gets results. And I was like, well, I thought it meant love never quits. He goes, no, love never fails. It's like the major spot remover. I mean, love never fails. You can get Vim and go, I thought Vim would work. I mean, you can get all kinds of stuff, but love never fails. It always gets results, and it always gets the breakthrough, and it will always, if you don't know anything else, if you're stuck, I don't know what to do, love, because love never fails. Let me finish the rest, because you're so excited. Love never fails, never fades, never becomes obsolete, never comes to an end. But as for prophecy, the gift of discerning and divine interpretation of things, it says it will cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth.
For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. Our prophecy, our teaching, fragmentary and incomplete. But when the complete and the perfect comes, the total comes, the incomplete, the imperfect will vanish away, be antiquated, void, and superseded. When I was a child, I talked like a child, walked like a child, reasoned like a child. Now I've become a man, and I've done away with childish things and put them away. Now we look in a mirror that gives us a dim and blurred reflection of reality in a riddle and in an enigma. But then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality face to face. Now I know in part and perfectly, but then I shall know, understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I've been fully and clearly known and understood by God. And now, what's that all about? You know what that all is about? You know what? You're not going to get this whole thing all at once. It's a seed. And it starts just like you did. You were a child. And then you step on to maturity. There's a process. So what happens? I'm expecting after these few sermons on love that we will be the most amazing loving church in all of the world. I'm expecting that love, these seeds of love, they're powerful, they're incorruptible, imperishable. They're going to cause us to grow and mature in love. These things are going to get in your heart, and we're going to get better at this. And it's going to start to grow. It's going to start to come. And it's going to start to manifest itself, because this is permanent stuff. This is stuff that never fails. This is stuff that's going to come into manifestation. Verse 13, and so faith, hope, and love, they abide. Faith, conviction, belief, respecting man's relation to God, divine things, hope, joyful expectancy of eternal salvation, true love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for us and in us. These three, they will remain. But the greatest of these is love.